You should definitely rewrite the weekly calendar, and you should tune up your budget, and you should have a vision conversation with the family. You can and should do this within the next couple of weeks because it's back to school time. And that's gird up the loins time for family leaders like you. And that's coming up on Abraham's Wallet. Run your home and your dough like a biblical boss. All right, all you Abrahams in training, the back to school season is upon us. So I want you to get ahead of the curve and gear up with a playbook that's both practical and rooted in biblical wisdom. As Christian family leaders, you're called to run your home and dough like biblical bosses, stewarding your resources and leading your tribe with intentionality. So the back to school season brings unique opportunities to flex your leadership muscles. And today we're going to weave together some practical tips grounded in biblical principles. Before we dive in, how's it going over there in Utah, Mark Parrott?
It's going great. We're talking about back to school, which means right now it's summertime.
It is summer as we record this.
And we've been cooking here.
Yeah.
But I woke up and it was 55 degrees.
Oh.
And we got a cool front that came in.
Refreshing.
And today I think the high is 72 and sunny. It's lovely. And I'm gearing up for wife's birthday week.
Uh-huh.
And because of our delayed publication schedule, I can tell you all about it because she's not going
to
hear this until it's already happened. But we're getting some folks together. I got to make a dinner reservation for a little husband-wife date night.
Yes.
But here's something I need your opinion on, Steve.
Oh, boy. There's nothing I love like giving my opinion, Mark.
Last week, we talked a little bit about how one of the skills when it comes to budgeting and kind of submitting your finances to the Lord is to say no to lifestyle inflation, right?
Yes.
And I also talked specifically about the fact that it's almost new car shopping time for us.
Yes.
And we have debated everything from buying a $10,000 beater that we're going to sell to our middle child when she turns 16.
A Honda Element, maybe?
Never. We've already gone down that path.
Okay.
The Element served us well, but it's no longer for us.
It's not an option. Okay.
My wife has gone and looked at fancy cars. German made luxury sports sedans. And we kind of agreed we don't have the funds that we have chosen to dedicate to luxury transportation. However, she likes driving sports cars. This woman is actually, she's the one that taught me to drive a stick shift. And so on her birthday, actually the day before her birthday, there's going to be a Porsche 911 sitting in the driveway that's hers for the weekend.
This is a brainwave. I like this.
Now, my question is, do I preface it before I bring her out front? I have rented a vehicle for you to play with for a few days, or do I let her have that one moment of what has my husband done? And
wow,
do I now own a Porsche?
I think I might go with the latter. I think I might let her wonder what's just happened, because maybe she will arrive by herself at, this is totally impractical. We could never do this. This won't work for our family. But she would have that moment of seeing, I hope it's spankling and shining, and hope the sun glistens off it just so. I hope you can see the clouds in the windshield. Give her that moment
all right.
Of wonder.
Okay. Well, I'll have to report back following the weekend with the car. My only sadness is we are going to a fancy restaurant in a fancy car, and I'm going to have to look the valet in the eye as he goes like, why'd your wife drive? But so it goes. She's going to get to be the driver for the weekend.
Well, I know that this is kind of, this is assumed by you, but I just want to call out to the listener that if anyone has any dissatisfaction, the mom who likes to drive and has the minivan, for instance, boy, renting a car for the weekend is not only a good way to kind of take a vacation from your normal set of wheels, but it can kind of check that thrill box without having to do something stupid with your money, which is what most people do. And as we have talked about before, the thrill of having any new car is mostly gone in 2 weeks' time.
Having
the joy of, holy cow, I get to drive this thing. She's going to love it all weekend long. She's going to be looking for excuses to drive anywhere. And I think it's a great gift.
Awesome. Yeah. And the cost is less than one car payment on like a Honda Accord. So Turo is your friend. If this is what you're out to do, just go find yourself a Dodge Viper or a Ferrari, rent it for a day or two or three. You'll probably pay less than, like I said, the car payment on a new family SUV.
Yes. Well, I'll just tack on to that I am well and truly in the wife birthday celebration window as well. My wife has hit a significant birthday, which I'm not going to say which number because she wouldn't want me to. But we're constantly thinking up wonderful things to do for mom. And there are trips with an S on it. There are trips for mom planned along the way. So that's all very fun.
I'm surprised that she wouldn't be totally fulfilled, delighted, feeling adequately celebrated if you just handed her the silver medal that you won 2 days ago at the pickleball tournament that you competed in.
Uh-huh. And gave it to her on bended knee and said, "This is for you, my queen.
When I fight, I fight for you.
In your honor." Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
"I dink for thee only."
Okay. Congratulations on your victory.
Thank you very much.
I wanted to work that in. But.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, let's dive into the back to school season. I think the kind of heading for all of this is simply that we throw out a lot of ideas about great things that you can do to lead your family. This is what you should do for your finances. You know, a bunch of helpful tips and ideas. And I know for certain that many of our listeners don't know how to integrate those things. You want me to make a big change with like following my budget or putting money aside for investing, etc. What am I supposed to do that stuff? It's hard to just make changes as you go. Well, as everyone knows, the summer season is a time where you are just kind of grabbing things and collecting as you go along. Last night, we found ourselves with a couple of hours and our whole family went to the pool. And I grilled burgers at the pool. Well, that was not on the meal plan for the week. It just happened. We were available. The sun was out. Let's go. I was tired and sweaty from mowing the yard. Let's please go. But when the school season starts, this is the greatest time of regularity and predictability in your year, most likely. If you have kids who are in school, and oftentimes, if you don't, if you are in any kind of seasonal work, anything that follows the flow of America's calendar, you know that things change. This is when all the conferences happen. We know this from planning events. Companies don't want to do stuff in the summer because people are all over the place. Well, it comes September time and there is a predictability of schedules. So this is a great time for you to review what you're doing with your family, not to mention setting some vision for what are we going to do this school year? What is our family going to be about? We reckon this is a primo time to review some basics in your family and start flexing some of your leadership muscles. So we're going to go over four tips that would be great things for you to hit as this back to school season begins. Number one is to sit down with your family and create goals that are a reflection of an extension of your family's vision. You've probably heard Proverbs 29:18 before, which says, "Where there is no vision, people cast off restraint." That would probably be a great verse just to summarize the whole episode. If there's vision, then you know what you're doing. You can get ahead of the calendar. You can get ahead of the money that's flowing in and out of your home, and you can make some decisions proactively. So as the family leader, you are point man for casting a God-glorifying vision for your household. And by the way, that vision thing, you have to do that over and over and over again. So don't say to yourself, I know we went over that 18 months ago. I think we're good there. No, you need to do it again. You need to say this to your family again. Remind everyone again. Because back to school isn't just logistics. It's a chance to align your family's educational choices and your time choices, your calendar and your money with your kingdom calling. So I would like to encourage all of our family leaders to set a family meeting. Think of it as a team huddle. We're about to go out on the playing field. Let's get a huddle together and let's discuss what do we think that success looks like for the coming school year. There should be some academic growth in there. There should be some character development in there. There should be the extending and deepening of faith. And write down those specific goals. We have guides for writing down goals that we love to furnish people with. We love to put things in five categories: spiritual, relational, physical, intellectual, and financial. That would be just wonderful buckets for you to sit down with the family and simply ask this question. You don't have to be a great Bible teacher to just go, what would be some great goals, some great outcomes for this coming school year? Write those down as a family. You could sit down with the wife, pray over that list, maybe edit it a little bit, and for goodness sake, post it somewhere. Wherever Command Central is in your home, post those goals, pray for them as a family through the coming year, and by all means, pray for your kids. If you're about to send them into the school year and go, well, I hope you get good grades, Billy. Hope you do good in calculus. Why wouldn't you just pray for them as parents, that you could make that part of your Sabbath this week or next week, anything leading up to the school year? Maybe it's the first week of school and just we're just going to pray for you guys that you would thrive spiritually this year, that you would thrive academically this year. I think of the verse in Luke 2 that says that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. That's one of the few verses that describes Jesus's kind of growing up years. And that's what you want for your kids this year, is you want them to grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So pray as a family together, get those goals listed out and post them somewhere. What a great exercise. So that's my first point. Create goals that are in agreement with your family vision. What do you got, Mark?
Yeah, I think my point might even become a part of that meeting that you're calling to get the family back together.
Yeah.
Because what I want to encourage you to do at this time of year is get together. Here comes the broken record, Mark, but he's going to tell you, it's time to review the budget.
Why not?
And why? There's some eternal reasons. Luke 16, 1 through 13 is the parable of the shrewd manager. And one of the zinger lines from that parable is that he who is faithful with a little will be entrusted with more. And that's why from the very first blog article we ever wrote at Abraham's Wallet, it was called Budgeting, to now, we always come back to just taking stock of what are we spending as a family, where is our money going, etc. And so there's a kingdom-minded reason that we would tell you to review your budget. But also, I don't know about you, but for us, the budget looks very different in the summer than it does in the school year. And it's not necessarily higher or lower. I told my wife yesterday, I said, honey, we may need to switch to the beans and rice for a few days because it's the 22nd and we're out of grocery money. So part of the reason is because of nights like what you just mentioned earlier.
Yes.
We said, oh, we are out. We were out at 9 p.m. after watching a beautiful soccer game up in Park City.
Neat.
But we went, we haven't eaten and we're hungry. It's going to be Chick-fil-A or whatever.
Sure.
So that type of thing happens. There's more kids' activities and camps in the summer, but there's less of other things happening, some of those regular expenses. So, you know, extracurriculars and school supplies. And did you know they're still using those TI 80-something calculators? I had to buy one of those recently.
Yes, I had to buy one a while back, and I couldn't believe. I thought calculators cost $12.
No.
I was wrong.
I think they cost, what, $200 now?
It yeah.
Seemed. And so one thing I always tell people when they're trying to deal with budgeting is I always remind them, this is not a document you create and then forever you go, I guess that's the law I must follow. You're allowed to change your budget as seasons change and needs change. So create a back-to-school budget. Go get yourself, if you haven't done it already, get yourself a tool. We often recommend Monarch Money as our favorite, although there's you need a budget and there's the envelope system and there's Dave Ramsey's thing. Lots of tools out there, some of which are free. Find a tool that works for you. And then you can use that tool, even if your tool is an Excel sheet, whatever you're tracking with, you can use that to involve your kids in a conversation about the budget at whatever level they're ready for. And you can show them how we have a fixed amount of money and we're going to prioritize the needs first. We must pay our mortgage. And then we're going to acknowledge there are things we would like. For me as a youth, back to school time was always the time I said, Mom and Dad, are we wealthy enough yet for me to own the Reebok Pump sneaker? And they would say, we could take you to Payless Shoes. They have an imitation version of that sneaker. And that's why I had very few friends in fourth through sixth grade. But you can kind of explain this to your kids and talk to them about principles. And you could do that as a part of your vision meeting. So it might even be the time to say, we're going to acknowledge and cut one nice to have item from the budget. And we'll redeploy that money towards something that we just talked to you about in our vision meeting.
Yes.
So however you do it, make sure you take a little bit of time as you prepare to switch seasons and switch rhythms to review the budget and make sure it's setting you guys up for what you're trying to accomplish as a family.
Love it. Makes a lot of sense. I gotta say, as I'm listening to you, we're setting out four tips, four ideas for you today. And I know that we always run the risk of if we just blitz you with ideas, you'll listen to the podcast and go, oh, good ideas. But it's so many that are coming into your head that you end up with nothing. And I just want you to know that if you were to move on one of these, just make some positive movement in one of these, it would be a win. So you can be kind of choosing through the menu as we go. So I have to say that. Because I love the idea of you going over the next 4 weeks, I'm going to hit each one of these things. That'd be great. But let's take the win and you just going, I'm going to take one of these. So the next thing I want to mention is you've got to claim your time. So there is a storm coming in your near future where activities, even church things, all sorts of trips, they're going to be presented to you opportunities. And if you just react as things come along and go, well, I think we've got Thursday night free. Sure, we'll do that. If that's your attitude, you're going to get overrun by your schedule as opposed to you actually running your year. So I want you to claim your time. Ephesians 5 says, verse 15, be very careful then how you live. Don't live as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. So, as you know, the law of entropy is if you do nothing, things are going to erode around you. You'll find that the money just goes away. You'll find that your time just flits away, as opposed to going, we have a vision, we have a goal here, we're going to drive it. So I want you to do that with your time. I'd like to encourage you to print out, you can just Google this and print out a couple of empty months. Go from August to December of this year, just print them out empty and just jot onto them, well, we know we're going to be doing these weekend trips. We got a wedding we got to do on this weekend. We've got our vision summit. We know we like to do that towards the end of November. We've got that trip to go see your parents. Just plot those things out. Then with that calendar, you can see, I think we're going to have these openings. That's a nice window there. Maybe we could pursue Sukkot this year. That's going to come up in October. We've never put we've never taken a hard swing at that. Maybe we can try that. And just look at your fall from a calendar standpoint, just to get a feel for, are we going to be stressed out and busy? Are we going to have a lot of time and opportunity? What are the kids involved in, et cetera? The next thing I want you to do is I want you to take an empty week, Sunday to Saturday, just print out a week and fill in that week as if it were your ideal, as if the week presents itself to you clean and you go, what are we going to protect in this week? Well, we're going to first protect the Sabbath. We're going to put that day aside. Then we can build around that. In an ideal week, maybe you're going to have a date night in there. Maybe you're going to have a spouse meeting. And you're going to put that in a morning. Dad's going to say, well, these mornings for sure, I'm going to be in my study, spending time alone with God, et cetera. You're just building out your week so that you put the big boulders in place so that the little things, the miscellany of life, you can fit that in as it comes and goes. But you're not going to let, for instance, the cross-country coach determine the way that your year is going to look. You decide that, and then you decide you're the traffic cop. You say cross-country, you can come in a little bit here. Ballet practice, you can come in. Oh, sorry, you're at your maximum. We can't have any more. As opposed to, you understand what I mean, letting just life dictate for you. So I want you to map out your year, what that looks like, big picture. I'm going to throw in, might be a good time to review tech boundaries with your family. So that would be mom and dad, as well as the kids. What are our tech boundaries that we don't want our lives to be dominated by screens? We want conversations to rule at the dinner table, for instance, as opposed to screens. It's just a good time to review, because as your kids grow, they're expecting naturally more and more freedoms, more and more agency over their time. Just review, here's where our family stands. And maybe that's something you need to go over with the wife in a meeting on the side. But I want you to claim your time as opposed to letting it get away from you. So that's my number three, is claiming your time as we go back to school.
Awesome. I feel like both of my points end up just being an expansion of what you've said. But
great.
But one way that I think in the maybe, I don't know if everybody feels the way I do, but summer for us, it's a little like deregulated in terms of our schedule.
Yes.
And one thing that can happen is anything I am in a normal rhythm of doing, whether that's going to the gym at 5:15 every morning or any regular rhythm I've tried to observe, it kind of can get smushy and I don't always do it. And one of the things that I think can be pushed aside when you exit regular rhythms is your time in the Word. Joshua 1:8, there's actually a command given, and it says this. It says, keep this book of the law always on your lips, meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then
yes,
you will be prosperous and successful.
Yes.
So time meditating on the Word, reading the Word, speaking about the Word, it's not a self-help suggestion from your pastor. It's a command from the living God.
Yes.
And I completely acknowledge that it's easy for that rhythm to get bumped in the hustle and bustle of the summertime. So my encouragement is, both as a family leader and just as a dude, find at least two times, hopefully on a daily basis, that you're in the Word. First, I would say establish some time for family Bible time. And so if you have a wife or children, anytime you're leading others spiritually, I want you to find a time to read the word. And I've talked about it before. We just do it before we eat at dinner. Everyone's already sitting at the table. You could do it at bedtime. You could do it before breakfast. For us, those times would not work because people are kind of going 10 directions at all those times. But at dinner, we're all at the table. So no meal starts, whether we've got just our family or a whole crew of people, none of whom know the Lord, we're still reading the Bible before we eat our dinner. And like we've encouraged you in the past, you do not have to be a Bible scholar to lead your family in this. You can just read a passage and say out loud something that it makes you think. That's totally awesome, Dad. Just do that. If you're looking for tools, Stephen, you guys have used the Bible Project and some, like, they have some kid-friendly devotionals that can help.
Yeah.
You know, I think something that happens as you read the Bible is that your kids and your wife and you will just start to relate what you're reading to real things that are happening in the world, challenges to the faith. You know, I ran into this secular worldview and I don't know how to respond. It's kind of like, Stephen, when I was a young 15-year-old and the first time you were teaching me how to go through my Bible, you said, well, I want to give you this system for reading from four different spots in the Bible.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's like magic because no matter what four spots I pick, they relate to each other.
Yeah.
And they relate to things that are happening. And you'll start to notice that. Last night, we sat down and we read the first part of Romans 13. And normally, our Bible time could be 5 minutes, or it could be that short. Just read, discuss, pray, eat. Last night, we talked for 20 minutes about all these crazy things that, well, what are some situations where this doesn't, submitting to government might not be what we're supposed to do? Are there even such things? What's Paul trying to tell us? And so it's way better than discussion cards that ask you to talk about your favorite vacation ever or something. If you want more resources, we both have teenage daughters. There's a book called Mama Bear Apologetics.
Yes.
Really good book that will start to actually introduce worldview conversations. So you could read that on your own if you have younger kids and they're not maybe ready to take apart a chapter of a book like that yet. Or you could read it with your kids if they're old enough to grok it.
Yep.
The other thing I want to just quickly encourage you in is you should also be in the Word yourself daily, alone with the Lord. You know, you've said it a bunch, Stephen, but your spiritual health as a father sets the tone for your home and your family.
That's right.
And shoot, when you come to that other Bible reading time, again, if you just pick any two places in the Bible and read from them in a given day, I promise you'll start going, is this magic? They relate. They connect. There's ideas. And so you suddenly become like twice as smart when it comes to sharing with your family about the Word and from the Word. So spending time with the Lord, this is one that for me, I just feel like the Lord had to tell me very clearly, if you pick up your phone that sits next to your bed as you sleep and look at Twitter before you open the Bible, you're sinning. Now, I'm not telling anybody else that they're sinning if they do that. I'm just saying I recognized that there would be mornings where I woke up early intending to read the Word. And then 20 minutes later, I'm scrolling and I go, it's kind of too late now to do it if I'm going to the gym with my wife. So whatever it takes for you to clear out space, for me, it's early morning. That's the only chance. But whatever it takes, just hear me encouraging you to do it, to make that time sacred, literally and figuratively, and spend time in the Word, and then just talk about it with your family, whether that's in Bible time or just when you're walking along the way and you're instructing your kids in the Lord's Word.
That's so great, Mark. I really like the idea of two times a day for every man. One time at the beginning of the day alone, and one time with the family. We had a situation similar to what you're describing. Just this past weekend, we hosted a young couple, and I had never met the guy. The girl had been a babysitter for us, and they just got married, and we had him over, and I thought, well, I don't really know how this is going to go, but when we have dinner, our family reads the Bible, so I'm just going to pick up where we are, which is Exodus 18. That's not light reading. And so we just read it as a normal part of our, I just kind of made my explanation. Hey guys, it's something we do every night. And so we're just going to do it again. And what do you know? As you say, it turned into this great 15 minute discussion where everybody was contributing, and it was great. So yeah, that's a perfect example of something where we have a family rhythm, and we're not going to let circumstances come in and impinge upon the building up of our family, which is, that's my goal as a family leader. It's not primarily to be a very nice, welcoming host. It's primarily to have a discipleship culture in my home. So that's our four tips for going back to school, creating goals around your vision, reviewing your budget, claiming your time, and then prioritizing the word. Let me say again, this is a great time for you to institute some rhythms. If you think, well, I don't really get up in the morning to read the Bible, guess when a great day to start that would be? The day school starts. Why don't you just start new rhythms? So if you're going to run your home and dough like a biblical boss, you're going to be leading a kingdom-focused family team. So whether it's budgeting wisely or guarding your time or discipling your kids through these precious schooling years, you are building a legacy of faith in real time. When do you think that you're going to do the Abrahamic leading? It's going to happen now. So guys, school days are coming fast, and they might be upon you already as you're listening to this. So your winning move this week, again, is to grab your wife, pray together during your weekly meeting, maybe, and pick one tip from the four that we've mentioned and implement it. So lead with boldness, lean on God's wisdom. Watch him multiply your efforts. Let's run hard after the kingdom in our homes this school year. Let's start well so that we can finish well. Bless you as you run your home and dough like a biblical boss this school year. And we'll see you next week.